Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. My next guest definitely knows a thing or two about soup. She is an award-winning food and travel writer, having written extensively for many national publications, including the New York Times Magazine and Food and Wine. Her latest book is Soup for Two, Small Batch Recipes for One, Two, or a Few. It is a pleasure to say hello to Joanna Preuss. Joanna, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Ed. Great to be here. It's a very snowy day and perfect for soup.
It certainly is. Small batch recipes for soup. What a great idea. Tell me your thoughts about the concept for the book.
Well, my first book about soup, I had young kids and I was making vats and vats of soups, and I had a refrigerator and freezer where I could keep them, and a big family and a lot of friends. And then life changes. You move on. The kids go away. But I still love soup. And while I, and I guess a lot of other people, don't have huge refrigerator space or the desire to eat the same soup every day, I decided that soup for two is a great idea.
Well,
thank you. I think, and people have been telling me that. But the interesting thing is that if you look at a soup recipe, oftentimes, and you say, oh, this sounds delicious, but it's for 8 or 12 people. And soup for two is on the premise that it's great for two or one or even three if you want a cup, but it's easier to double a recipe for two to make it for four than it is to cut down a big recipe.
Now, the book itself is incredibly attractive. I have it here as we're speaking. Each recipe is accompanied by a very elegant photo. So it gives you something to strive for in presentation. And it kind of boils down to what a lot of people have always thought, that food is much more than just taste, Joanna, is it not?
Oh, of course it is. And one of the things that makes those photographs, which are done by wonderfully talented NoFX, is that there are a lot of garnishes I give. And you can take a very simple soup and just completely dress it up. And I'm talking about things like you can make a cheese disc out of Parmesan cheese. You could make frizzled onion strings. You could make pesto. All of these things just add so much. Even spicy pumpkin seeds on top of a pumpkin and black bean soup. A, it tells you what's in the soup, but B, it just seduces you so much more.
The book is presented in a way so that even a novice can prepare each soup. Now, I am all thumbs in the kitchen. I mean, for me, pouring Cheerios is a risky proposition. So a couple of nights ago, I went into the kitchen and I made, if you go to page 79, rainy day tomato bisque. It was simple. It was easy to prepare. The recipe was straightforward and it was delicious. And now my wife of 20 years looks at me in an entirely different light.
Well, what I've done with some of these soups are recipes I've made for eons.
Mm-hmm.
And this tomato bisque soup, I must tell you, it takes me back to my mom's kitchen, because when we were growing up, of course, we had the soup that shall not be named in a red and white can. That was the way my mom cooked for five kids.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just remember thinking, oh, I really loved the comfort of that, and especially tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwiches. And so many friends said they had memories of tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwiches. And I wanted to be able to take you back to that comfort zone without a lot of labor. We can talk about how do you get these wonderful soups without investing a ton of time and a lot of ingredients. And that's one of the things I've tried to do in this book.
Now, in the book, there are sections that even help you get ready to actually make the recipes. The section in the kitchen gives advice for measuring and cutting and chopping vegetables. There's another section called At the Market, and it mentions that making soup for two means rethinking your shopping. How so, Joanna?
Well, again, I think the supermarkets have stepped up and realized there are a lot of smaller families. And so they are, A, packaging things like aromatics together. They're also packaging smaller batches of spices. Soups of aseptically packaged soups now come in 8-ounce as well as 16 and 32-ounce containers. I think salad bars still are a very, very good option if you look at the salad bar first, Ed. I think the problem is if you grab and go and then you say, well, wait a minute, you get home and this stuff doesn't look as fresh as it might. So your first job as a shopper is to really go around and see what the quality is. If it's old, if it's tired, you don't want it in your soup. Yes, you can use leftovers, and I say that all throughout the book, but I think you should start with the best you can get.
And that gets us towards the idea of healthy eating, which is a concern, and fortunately so, has become more of a concern as time has gone on. Concerns about chemicals, excessive sodium, and it appears that these recipes do emphasize wholesome eating, which is very important.
Well, thank you for saying that. I totally agree with you. And I spent many years working in a supermarket, so I've watched the evolution of the healthier trade, the healthier tendency. I also work for the specialty food industry and develop recipes for them. And customers are asking, and when customers ask with their dollars, manufacturers listen. So you do have the aseptically packaged soup stocks, I think, are much better. You also can get frozen spices now, herbs in little cubes that are terrific. You can get spice blends that I think will help customers. You don't have to buy giant quantities. And I think all of these are helping. You can also buy shredded carrots, for example, in little packets. You can buy an onion, a carrot or two. If it's a few pennies more, in the end, it costs you a whole lot less because you don't throw them out.
And I think it's also important, too, when we talk about cost and trying to be economically prudent as well. When you just walk into a store and you walk into the canned soup aisle, I mean, you can very easily throw $3 or $4 for a can of soup for one serving. I mean, these recipes are very economically friendly. It's very nice to know that you're saving a lot of money and you're preparing food that, A, is better for you, B, tastes a whole lot better for you and for your family. So, it's really the best of both worlds.
Thank you again. Well, I would say that if you read still some of these cans that say that they're healthy, I sometimes would take issue with that because there's still a huge sodium level. There's still a lot of chemicals that you don't really want. You can take purchased aseptically packaged stocks and doctor them up if you want. There are a lot of ideas for that that I think the homemaker generally doesn't think about, that they go and they say, oh, well, I bought this soup, now what do I do with it? And it's easy, especially if you have a soup like a stock and it doesn't have a lot of flavor. You can add a carrot. You can add actually celery tops if you have it. You can actually add onion skins if you have them. All of these things, once they're simmered briefly, like 20 minutes in a broth, will add flavor, but they don't add chemicals. They do. There is one thing you should know, though, that all food has some sodium, or most foods have sodium mm-hmm. in them. So if you're doctoring up a recipe, I'm suggesting don't add salt until the end. And the other thing is, add salt to your flavor taste, your preferences. Everybody has a different tolerance. I've found out that some people taste something and it tastes very salty to them, and other people just, unfortunately, are used to reaching for the salt shaker and adding mounds of salt.
That's a really good point, because I'm someone who is never into table salt. So when there's any amount of salt in anything, I will pick up on it very quickly and very easily. Now, you've written several cookbooks, and I read that your soup group helped you taste and develop recipes for your first cookbook. Tell me about your soup group.
Wow. Well, that was quite a few years ago, and it was a very interesting experience. It was at a gym, and I would bring in different soups that I was trying, and people would say, oh, I really love that. And there were some people, one woman has gone on to become a lifelong friend, who was going through a traumatic experience in her life, and she was like a wounded bird. And she would come back with me, and I would say, oh, you absolutely have to have this soup, or you have to have that soup. And it was like layers of pain were coming off of her. And I think soup is one of those great comfort foods that you can sit with just the closest of friend or a new friend, and it just makes emotions blend. You get so excited. You talk. I used to sit around in the kitchen with my kids when life was good or not good, but a bowl of soup was always consoling, and it was always an invitation to conversation. And this soup group, it became the point that they would ask me to fill out what I was testing that week, and they'd sign up for it. So I made a lot of friends that way.
Very nice.
Yeah, there's another funny soup story, and that is with the, there's a split pea soup, a vegetarian split pea soup in this book.
Right.
And my son, Ben, was a competitive snowboard racer, and he was in Colorado at a school. And one of the mothers took this soup to a group of monks. There was a community there, and they started making it in cauldrons. And so they always knew about Mrs. Bruce's split vegetarian split pea soup.
Well, the book, once again, is Soup for Two, Small Batch Recipes for One, Two, or a Few. It's available on Amazon and in your local bookstore. It makes a wonderful gift, and it's perfect for anyone who is looking for ways to make incredibly delicious soups. Joanna Pruse, continued good luck with the book, and thanks for joining us here on America Weekend.
Thank you so much, Ed.
I'm Ed Kalenge. Stay with us. This is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Are leaders more intelligent than the rest of the group? Well, we'd like to think so, especially if it's a high political office. But there's new evidence that begs the question. Here's the social science of it. To cut to the chase, leaders may not be more intelligent than the rest of the group they lead. Instead, what sets them apart is their willingness to speak up, to take a stand, to speak out when others are content to sit quietly.
A wise decision.
It's just a quirky way we see the world. We tend to evaluate those who speak up often as smart.
World's dumbest smart guy, worth less than a postage stamp.
I voted for the other guy.
What's the cheap psychological trick? Leaders seem right for the job because they speak up and speak with such confidence. But now you know, they may not be smarter than you, but just quicker to speak out loud. Would love to hear from you. You can drop me a line at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Big success in a minute with George and Mary Lynn.
We have a question for some people you know. Did someone forget to tell them?
Did someone forget to tell Albert Einstein he wasn't smart enough? He didn't talk until he was 3 and failed a language test at 16, yet he's considered a genius.
Did someone forget to tell Bethany Hamilton that surfers need 2 arms? A tiger shark bit off her left arm, but she still became a top professional surfer.
Did someone forget to tell Harry Potter creator J.K. Rowling that a divorced mother with no money couldn't be a big success? She's the first author to become a billionaire.
We'll bet that someone did tell them they couldn't do it, but they didn't listen.
So don't let people stop you from pursuing your passion.
Just go for big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with 2 free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.